Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, 10 to 2. So, Goo, you've been here all week as Steiny took some time off to get ready for the new show that begins on Monday. And then, of course, Damon Ratto and Kolsky, that's the same. You know, 2 to 6.
God, Sean Salisbury, I hate that guy.
With the football hour. We all do, Ray. And then Salisbury, 6 to 7. And then I'm going to be on with Ryan Covey from 7 to 10 nightly here on 95.7.
I respect
that. Goo, I know you're excited. I know you're excited. It's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to the new lineup here beginning Monday morning, bright and early.
Yeah, I got my alarm set, 5:55, Roxy. I'm excited. The new morning show, Dibs with me. I get to work with the – how many years in radio in the morning? I think it's like 24, 25 for Dibs, but, I mean, he's a legend in himself.
Guru, don't – you can't sleep on 5 o'clock. We got our pregame show, Stephen Langford. Come
yes.
on.
5 o'clock, 4:55, because Steve's my guy.
Steven took exception to that.
No, we talk. Steve and I talk. That's my guy. I slipped up.
Go be honest. It's 4:58. It's not 4:55. You're stealing those extra 3 minutes.
Hey, help me out, Roxy. I appreciate it. Roxy, I'm so random because I want to get your thoughts real quick here on the new lineup, but I'm looking at you right now that people can't see you on Zoom, and I never asked you this because I know JD, what he does come Sunday football morning. I'm up. I get my Jimmy Dean sausage, hash browns. I take a little bike ride. What does Roxy Bernstein do before the 10 a.m. kickoff? I know you got kids in the family, but what do you do to get ready real quick if you could share with me?
Well, this Sunday will be very different than any other Sunday. My daughter is being bat mitzvahed on Sunday.
Oh,
it
awesome.
Was a postponement. It was supposed to be back in March, but because of COVID and everything the way it was going, we decided to postpone it. We still could have gone through with it via Zoom, and it's still via Zoom as well. And she just finally said, enough's enough. Let's just do this. So we can have limited people inside the temple on Sunday, but it's Sunday morning, so I'm going to miss the 10 a.m. games for a very good reason I would like to take.
JD and I got you covered.
but the normal Sunday,
that's great.
See, it's funny when I watch it. I get more geeked up for Saturday, well, because I'm working a lot of college football Saturdays.
Yeah.
So, you know, I make, you know, college game day is appointment television for me. Then depending on what time my Saturday game kicks off, affects the rest of my day and how I map it out. And a lot of times, unfortunately, Sundays, I'm flying home. So
right.
I miss some of the early games because, you know, I'm flying home from whether it's Eugene, Oregon, Salt Lake City, Tempe, Arizona. So I may not get home until the 1 o'clock kicks. So that makes it challenging for my football viewing on some Sundays. Now, this year has been very different because I haven't had Pac-12 football to worry about for now. That's going to happen come November, but it has been unique to be home and watching all the pre-shows and make sure I'm setting my fantasy lineup correctly. That's my most important concern on Sundays now, Goo, is making sure my lineup is submitted correctly.
There you go. I love it.
Well, you're in that same boat with a lot of people. There's no question about that. And it's going to be fun, man. I mean, every week, you know, I've found myself, you know, with the roles changing up a little bit. I mean, I've been as locked in, I think, Goo, as I've ever been, as far as making sure I'm watching games and going back and watching games and recording games. And,
yeah.
And, you know, I feel as connected in particular to the NFC and some of the teams that the 49ers are in, you know, competition with. as I ever have been in the early going this year. I feel like I've watched every game that all of these teams have played between the division teams and the Saints and the Bucks and the Packers, and I'm a little light on the Bears. I'm not going to lie. I haven't watched every one of their games yet, but I'll get to it. And I have seen the Cowboys in all of their games to this point in time. So I got a little OCD goo when it comes to that.
I love it.
But
hey, JD, let me ask you, how different is it for you going to games at Levi's now? You've been to the both of them, right? Both home games.
I actually was not at the first one. We had a little bit, the whole credentialing process is a little bit different, and I was doing a show actually right up until a couple of hours before the game that day. So I was not at the first one. I was at the game Sunday. I will be at the one this Sunday. It's very different, Roxy.
Wow.
We were talking about this the other day. The process, I think the 49ers have done an excellent job of, all right, you go in and you park in the same spot, you go through a medical check, you go through a temperature check, you have to fill out a medical form, basically. Have you felt, have you come in contact with anybody with COVID, have you traveled, there's all these different questions that you get asked, and then you get a temperature check, and you go through that, and you go through security. They give you a little wristband that says you went through the medical check. So if you don't have that wristband on and somebody sees that you don't, you're 86 real quick. Mm. And then, the elevator ride to the press box that I know we're all familiar with in every venue. It's down to two people at a time, where sometimes, Roxy, press box elevator, you might have 50 people in it at a time anywhere. with so many people that are at a college football game or an NFL game. But, yeah, it's two people at a time. But the truth is there probably was, I don't know, maybe 40 people covering the game last Sunday. Wow. I know a lot of in the NFL, visiting teams are not traveling, especially to certain areas, visiting team media. And everything is conducted via Zoom. And you don't get any field access unless you're, a rights holder, obviously, or team personnel. You don't get any field access, which is very much different before or after the game. So it's different. The viewing of it, Roxy, is extremely different. I mean, we talked about this a couple of days ago. Watching on TV, it feels 100% normal to me. I can trick myself into thinking, hey, this is a normal game. Being there in person, it is absolutely bizarre. I mean, it just feels like you're on another planet.
I got to imagine it's easy getting in and out as far as traffic goes. You don't have to worry about, when timing it and leaving your house, because if you didn't leave by a certain time, you were in trouble, right?
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. I'm on the air this week. The game's at 1. I'm on the air till 11. And normally if I was on the air till 11 and then had to roll down, that would be – can't be done. Like, you can't – for a 1 o'clock kickoff. It would be very difficult. On the air to 11 now, you can make it – I could make it down there at a breeze, and I'll be in there by noon.
And we had Leroy on from Miami, Roxy, and I thought he was going to say, it's no big deal. But you talk about how you see it, JD, just in the stadium with no fans. Leroy, former player, he was like, I don't want to paraphrase him. I guess I can. But he basically said it is a big deal. Imagine you doing this show and they're saying, hey, Goo, you and Roxy and JD, nobody's hearing you. I think that would affect me, Not put my guard down, but just not – like a laziness to it, like you're just not all the way dialed up, but it's got to be different, man.
Roxy, I think it's a huge deal, and I'll put it to you this way: being in an enclosed press box at Levi's Stadium, so you don't, typically you don't get the full crowd noise.
It's
like
pretty
you
sterile
would.
To begin with, right? Even it when is. The crowd is full, you do feel detached or removed.
You do. Hear the crowd noise when it gets loud. Mm-hmm. Like, you do hear it. The level by which the piped-in crowd noise is set, and I think it was able to be moved from 70 decibels up to 80 because teams complained that it was just too dead. They needed a little more juice. Even at that new level last week, you couldn't even hear it from the press box. You couldn't even actually hear the piped-in crowd noise.
What?
You couldn't even hear it. So you were getting none of that if you were in the press box. Now, it's different on TV, and Roxy, as you know, I mean, the TV broadcasts are using different crowd noise. They're not using
the
that
mix
flat.
Is better on television. Yeah.
And it's different for every network what they're doing, but the production value on television, I think, has been fantastic, really, for baseball and for
yeah, I'm
football
with you, JD.
And college football. But in stadium, it's very different, Rox.
It is, and I haven't been to an NFL game, but I was at some baseball games at the Coliseum this year. And first off, you don't have to worry about getting in and out because there's nobody coming in and out. There is, you know, the same. We're looking at probably 25 to 30 media. They're covering the games when I was there. There is only one traveling reporter from Houston when I was at the Coliseum for the Astros series back in September. And it's just eerie. Like, for example, I was sitting one of the games when I was there before I was going to work a game up in the booth. The day before, I was sitting in the – because they have a makeshift press box at the top of the first level there at the Coliseum. So right under the overhang there, and it stretches from, for example, from third base around behind home plate over to first base. And I was sitting up high up above on the first base side, up above the first base dugout in that area. And so I'm just watching the game, whatever. And who comes strolling in and sits two rows in front of me but Jose Altuve? Like,
wow!
What the heck? Like, it's just weird and eerie seeing how sports is moving in 2020. And I mean, with you see a guy from, for example, from the A's bullpen go up through the stands to use the restroom on the Concorde during
crazy.
A game. I mean, it's nuts. The stuff Have like you... that. It's just regular occurrences for sports in 2020.
Roxy, I got to ask you this. Have you once left the Coliseum going to your car after the game's over and thought, you know what, the surroundings, it affected the product on the field? Or you were like, you know what, I'm dealing with that. We got to deal with it. But I think we saw the same baseball we would see had it been a sellout crowd.
I think in the regular season, maybe it's the same. But when you get to the postseason, you're looking for that boost, that adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
Hey, you get a big double play to end an inning, and all of a sudden you got 54,000 people at the Coliseum going nuts after somebody escapes a jam or a big home run to take the lead. I think you lose some of that feel.
No doubt.
From the signature, the big moments during the course of a game. With a standard, all right, inning, yeah, maybe you don't have as much buzz or juice in the stadium, so you could come out a little bit flatter. And I think it did play into maybe some of the offensive lulls from time to time that teams have had in the postseason.
Yeah, my big takeaway from both, I went to, and I did cover one, you know, all of the media availabilities are done virtually, done via Zoom. So
I don't like it. Yeah.
You can go and watch the game and cover the game in that way and get the elements and everything, but it's not like you're going down into a clubhouse or you're going down into a press conference room for any of it. I did cover one Giants game in person at the end of the year because I just wanted to see what it felt like. And my big takeaway, not only from that, but from the 49ers game against the Eagles last Sunday, was just an incredible hat tip to the players because the level of play is tremendous. And yeah, maybe there is a little bit lost, but watching these games on television and, you know, in Major League Baseball and the NFL, it has felt 100% real and intense. And honestly, the playoff baseball that we've all watched the last couple of weeks,
man,
has felt like playoff baseball. And to me, the credit for that goes 100% to the players because they, I don't think, have let it affect in a noticeable way the way that these games have been played. So that was from being there and going, man, this is the strangest thing I've ever seen in my life, and kind of thinking, how are these guys doing it? I mean, they're just doing what they know, and it's competition at the highest level, and my cap gets tipped to them because I think they've made it what it's been for us to all be able to enjoy it.
And Roxy, I've had the games on in the background. I'm always paying attention. But I'll be like, damn, the crowd is just, it sounds like a college crowd. But kudos to the networks for doing that. You know, some people complain. I love it. It keeps me engaged. And, JD, everything you said, you were spot on. I don't want to take it off the track here, but I was having a conversation about the upcoming NBA season, fellas. And if I had to gauge, if you had to answer this question now, I just assumed come February, let's say they start in February, fans will be back in NBA arenas. Like, this will be behind us. Somebody hit me over the head, basically, like, dude, you need to look around. You know, hopefully, I'm tired of bubble basketball, fellas, but do you think we're past that? Or if I had to tell you, they're going to start and it's pretty, it resembles what we just saw or what we're currently watching. Which way would you go, Roxy? Because I'm hoping we get the Warriors play at Chase and the Lakers play at, you know, at Staples.
I think we'll get that, but there aren't going to be fans.
I've been told by some people from the NBA that they want to restart when they can have fans coming back in.
Okay.
Does that mean full buildings? I don't know. I think they want to wait and see, because a lot of the revenue has been lost, and a lot of the revenue these teams get are from buildings being full. And I don't think they want to go through necessarily the bubble scenario if they don't have to again. Could I see a scenario like baseball, like we're seeing in the NFL, where they play in home empty arenas? I think all options are going to be on the table. But I think the preference for the NBA is to at least wait and hope they can, at some point, like if it doesn't go on too long, that they can have fans back in buildings and play in front of spectators instead of empty buildings.
Wow.
Yeah, I think, Goo, we're headed toward, and look, the NBA can't wait too long, because I think, and I know a big topic of discussion this week has been, you know, the NBA Finals ratings and being down over 50%, and,
yeah,
you know, the game Sunday, the game three, was a topic of conversation, and, you know, I've said it at a couple of different points. I mean, I believe the reason the ratings are down is just because of the other options. It's that they're going head-to-head with the NFL. They're going head-to-head with the, you know, Major League Baseball playoffs now. They're going head-to-head with, you know, in some cases, college football and the NHL. And so to me, it's just the multiple options. And they put themselves in that position when they decided to, you know, wait as long as they did to come back, and the format that they decided to come back with. So I think, you know, there was some question initially, Goo, about, you know, would the NBA want it to end right before, meaning the finals, right before the NFL and maybe a college football season would begin, if it was going to begin in the middle of September, you know, as far as the NFL goes. I think the NBA has to look at that more than anything as they map next year. And I know they want to get fans back, and I think at some point they will, maybe not at the beginning, but I would be careful if I'm the NBA believing that, you know, you're going to wait too far past about early to mid-January to start. Because I think at that point, you got to go to July to get to the regular season if you're going to play 82. And then it's 2 months of playoffs from that point. So you're talking about September 1st-ish, you know, in terms of ending it. And I think that's right about the limit to where you want to – I think you want to get the season in if you're the NBA before football starts, before college football starts, before the NFL starts. Because I think that's the one thing, Roxy, next year, and Goo, you know, I think we know that the winter is going to be weird with COVID, and we don't know what to expect in the spring. But I do think there's a belief that by the summer – next year, and especially the fall, Guru, of next year, meaning a year from now, that we will be fully out of it at that point in time, and college football will be to go on fully as normal, and the NFL will be able to go on fully as normal next September.
Yeah, I'm
planning for a weird, for example, college basketball season. You guys know how much college hoops I work, and
you would be
preparing. I'm preparing to call games from right where I'm sitting, looking at you guys over Zoom here.
This is
from what I understand, this is the plan, that this is where we're going to be. This is where I've been calling Major League Baseball games from. When I haven't been at the Coliseum working for the A's, I've been right here working games for ESPN.
How is that, Roxy?
It's weird. It takes some getting used to, where you're pulling in feeds, and we're pulling in special feeds over Zoom, and I have a cable, and you can't see, but I have television monitors up in the corners here. And I have, for example, we've had the quad box is what we call it on this monitor up here, where There's four different screens I'm looking at, a high home camera where I can see the entire field. I had a view of each bullpen, and I had a view of the scoreboard up there. And I pulled the program feed for the game right here on my computer and also have it on a monitor up here. That way I can see just about everything, and I'm focused in. And the weird adjustment that I had to make was going from calling a game this way off monitors from home and then going to the Oakland Coliseum and calling a game that was actually being played in front of me. I had to retrain myself to watch a baseball game being played in front of me, and then I had to go back to calling it this way. It was just a bizarre feeling. We have pre-game Zoom meetings with managers. It's just, again, sports in 2020, you just accept it for what it is. You don't question it. You're thankful you're able to do stuff and work ball games the way I've been able to do. But it certainly takes me getting used to it. It's a very different experience.
Yeah, and I'll say this. 2020 has definitely been trying, just a lot. And not just sports, on and off the court and on and off the field. But I'll say this about the NBA and those ratings being down 50%, Roxy. And, J.D., you make valid points about there's other options and the different time of seasons. But when it's down over 50%, Roxy and J.D., that's telling you something. And when you got the players, who I commend the NBA for letting the players and have the freedom to Black Lives Matters on the court and social injustice, whatever they want in the back, I've been on this earth long enough to know, fellas, that has something to do with it, because I was the guy for years that said sports was my escape. And I wasn't living a heavy life, Roxy and JD. That was just a place I could go and get lost. And it was a good get lost. But now, you know, I've kind of come to the realization that just because you don't watch the NBA doesn't mean you're racist or you're not for social injustice. It just may mean you don't want to be reminded of what's really going on in society. And I think, Roxy, that has something to do with it. And to hear Adam Silver, who I love, say next year most likely they won't have the court with the Black Lives Matters and they won't have the jerseys with the inscriptions, as a black man, and forget my color, I totally get that and understand it. But there's no way in the world the ratings being down 50% don't attribute to the fact that some people don't tune in for that, Roxy, right or wrong, that has ran some people off. Like, look, I just want to watch a game. I don't want to be reminded of what's ailing us as a country. And with this election, I don't think it's, you know, again, I'm not Don Lemon, Daryl Lemon, but I just think that has something to do with the ratings being down.
But you're right. There is so much going on as opposed to, and we have
so much divide,
overkill,
Roxy,
on the sports right now, right? We're sitting here in October. We still have the NBA Finals going on. The Stanley Cup Finals just finished off. We have baseball playoffs going on. The NFL's going on. College football's going on. There is so many options right now for viewing. And so maybe, all right, people weren't tuning into the NBA for whatever reason, but they maybe have only certain limited viewing time. Work gets in the way. Family gets in the way. Obligations get in the way. Plus, you want to pay attention politically what's going on in this country. I think that all factors into why the ratings maybe have been down. But I think a lot of it is that there are so many sports taking place right now. You have to choose your viewing options.
Here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Safeway. We'll get our predictions for the 49ers and the Dolphins. We'll look around at some of the other games across the NFL this weekend. And still time for a couple of more phone calls at 888-957-9570. That's all sponsored by Safeway. Shop Safeway's Pick 4 or More sale now. Find items like Frosted Mini Wheats, 10 to 15 0.9 ounce Pop Tarts and Rice Krispie Treats, 8 count, just for $1.49. Barilla Pasta, 99 cents a box, and DiGiorno Pizza, $4.88 each. These deals when you get buy four or more with your Safeway Club card. Miami Dolphins. Now, guys, we'll get your reaction to that, but there are a couple of other newsy items from this Kyle Shanahan press conference as well. C.J. Beathard is now the number two quarterback behind Jimmy Garoppolo this week. He has moved in front of Nick Mullins, so look for Nick Mullins to be inactive as the third quarterback in the game on Sunday. Debo Samuel, questionable for Sunday. Kyle Shanahan did say, though, that Debo Samuel is feeling great. No symptoms from his illness. He has to go through protocols, different protocols for illness, even with non-COVID sickness or symptoms. So he has had two negative COVID tests. So if you're ill, you got to go through that protocol regardless. And he's passed that protocol, and he's got to go through it, I think, one more day to even be allowed back into the facility. So he's on track to be cleared for that. So this is not a potentially COVID-related issue at this time, but he is officially questionable. Dante Johnson's out. Emmanuel Mosley's out. Kaywan Williams is out. Raheem Mostert and Akella Witherspoon are questionable. So a lot of news there. Roxy, just digest all of it. I know I threw a ton of things at you. Big news day.
Well, the most surprising thing to me is that Beathard has supplanted Mullins, at least for this week, as the backup to Jimmy Garoppolo. And I wondered if you addressed three quarterbacks this week just because of Garoppolo's ankle, and do you – try to hedge your bet a little bit and play it cautiously at the quarterback position because of Jimmy's status. Now, he's a full go at practice today, and you got to assume if they're giving him the green light to play, he's okay. But you never know. But it was surprising for me to see that, considering what we've seen from Mullins and Beathard the last couple of years. And for Nick Mullins, you go from starting on Sunday Night Football for the defending NFC champion San Francisco 49ers to being demoted to the third quarterback now just a week later. That's pretty telling to me. It's pretty shocking to me, to be honest with you, considering how well he played against the Giants. Yes, he was awful against the Eagles, and I'm pretty surprised that Kyle Shanahan went in that direction. Look, he knows his quarterbacks. He knows his football team better than I do, but that is pretty startling to me and pretty telling that he goes now to the number three and C.J. Beathard is QB2.
Yeah, I'm not one of these guys, fellas, that gets on the radio and say, "Oh, I got it right." But I feel like Shanahan was kind of on the same page as me. Like, you saw enough from Mullins to where not only did he get yanked out the game, Roxy, he got demoted. And yesterday, I tried to paint a visual of Mullins, who, you know, was getting the benefit of the doubt, just rolling down his car window on the freeway and nothing but dollar bills coming out the truck, because, you know, that could be the byproduct of that one bad performance last Sunday night. But I'll tell you what, and I've been asking for it. The Niners needed good news. They got it. Number 10 is back. The captain is back, JD. Now it's just about who he's throwing to. And at this juncture, you know what? Let's just say, for instance, it's a long shot. Debo can't go. Well, damn it, Ayuk is out there. Kittle's back. Sounds like Mostert has a chance. So as long as number 10 is back there, it starts with him. And hopefully we can see them get a win to go 3-2, because those other guys that you mentioned, I mean, good Lord, you know, there's a lot of people that won't be playing this game on the defensive side of the ball for the Niners, it sounds like.
Yeah, so the big headlines again, Jimmy Garoppolo will start. C.J. Beathard is the backup on Sunday, according to Kyle Shanahan. I was with you, Goo. I thought the way that it all played out, and the one thing I tried to tell you, and I know, you know, the audience is, you know, C.J. Beathard's biggest fan is Kyle Shanahan. I mean, you got to keep that in mind. It's he spent a third-round pick on him, and one of the things I wondered when Nick Mullins was pulled was, maybe did Kyle Shanahan see that as an opportunity to reinsert Beathard, or at least get him a shot to contend again for that backup quarterback spot. So at least for 1 week, that's the case. And then Debo Samuel, dealing with a non-COVID illness, but again, anyone with symptoms of illness, guys, goes through a different protocol. They are not allowed in the building. So if you're not feeling well, you're not allowed in the building, and you have to pass three consecutive COVID tests. Debo has passed two of those. He has a third one tomorrow, which would allow him to re-enter the building and then be eligible to play in the game on Sunday. So the 49ers don't believe that that's a COVID-related issue. But again, the protocols are all different if you're dealing with any kind of illness.
And then what happens on Sunday, for example? If he keeps testing negative, for the coronavirus, but if he has a little bit of a fever, does that mean he can't play on Sunday, even if it's not COVID-related?
That's a great question.
I think at that point, he would be cleared. Although Kyle Shanahan did say that he's feeling better, so we'll have to stay tuned on that one. Again, the other element, Guru, with Debo specifically, and again, I want to make sure this is handled as delicately and appropriately as possible. It was speculated upon in June that Debo Samuel may had been the 49er among those that were practicing in Tennessee that came up as the positive test for COVID-19, and that presumably he would have been tested when he broke his foot and went into the hospital for his surgery to repair the injury. Again, that was never officially announced by the team or by Debo, but there was kind of a roundabout belief that maybe that was the case. So that could be in play here as well. You're being extra careful and cautious, but you could also know potentially that Debo wouldn't have COVID because he already had COVID.
Yeah, and just on top of that, JD, you got people, doctors that we don't know, anybody knows if you can get it twice. You know, that's still up in the air, and that's obviously why they were testing him. But, Roxy, you bring up a good point. Here's a young athlete, in his prime, but whatever he was feeling, if it was the regular flu or just any symptoms for him to bring it to somebody's attention, he wasn't feeling well. And now you got me thinking, not being negative, but, okay, you passed that third COVID test, but then how are you personally? Do you have a fever? What are you dealing with? Are those regular flu symptoms there? So I'm rooting for the young fella, and obviously I'm rooting for the team. And I want to see what you talked about earlier and what I brought up earlier this week. You want this offense to get back whole so we could kind of see it. And I'm including Reed in that. I know he's weeks away, JD, but at some juncture this offense will get everybody back, Mostert included. That could happen this week. And then it's fast break coming and see if they can't overcome what they don't have on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, how nervous and maybe the Debo is. And anytime you get something right now, right, you get a little scratch in your throat, you get a little ache here or there.
Yeah.
Do you start worrying that, oh crap, I got it? Have you had that feeling?
Me and my wife, you coughed. Oh, my God. And I'll tell her, you need to go to JD. She like, what's like that? No, seriously.
My allergies were bad at one point, like in April, and I was scared to death that I had it. And luckily, I did not.
Man. Wow.
But you just – the thoughts running through your mind. Oh gosh, I got a sore throat. Oh, I've.
How can it not, Roxy?
I got the sinus pressure. Uh oh.
Yeah.
I got it. Oh no. But luckily I've been okay.
The only thing for me in hindsight, and I've been healthy through the entirety of since things basically shut down back in the middle of March. And felt fine, and you're right. Anytime you get a little something where you think maybe it's leading towards something, you worry. But I'll be very honest. The one thing that I have thought back on in hindsight was the last time that I had a cough, significant cough going. And what'll happen typically for me is
when was this?
The temperature changes. It was the week of the Super Bowl in Miami.
Okay.
Me too, JD. Go ahead.
I don't know, and I obviously haven't been I don't want to get too far down on a tangent, but that week in Miami, and typically I get, if I go from it's pretty cold here, and then Miami it was in the 80s, 70s and 80s, mm-hmm. even that last week of January.
The climate
change.
When
the temperature changes, I get a little of the crud.
Right.
At that point, it wasn't anything else. It wasn't any other symptom other than I had a really bad cough and some voice issues that week. I remember, trying to do shows and I was filling in on a couple, and I was really pushing through with the voice. And in hindsight, a couple of times, Goo, I've thought back, damn, I wonder. I was on the plane to Miami. I was with a bunch of people, and you don't know, obviously, and nothing wound up, coming of it. And I've been totally healthy since. Knock on wood. But, yeah, it makes you wonder for sure.
That is so uncanny and interesting, JD, because Bonte and Steiny, we were on the road the week of the Super Bowl doing the shows remotely. Roxy, your boy missed two and a half shows because
I filled in with you on one, and I was hacking.
I was sick, but it wasn't my head is hurting sick. It was a sickness that I've never experienced to where my nasal congestion, the pressure in my eyes. And now I'm thinking back, and you know how many people Roxy had told me, I kind of had the same thing. We probably had it. It was crazy. And, I don't know, but I just knock on wood that JD that week your boy was going through, and I had missed a couple shows that week, and you know who knows what we were going dealing with.
And the relief you feel when you get the negative test. I don't know if you guys have been tested. I've been tested a number of times for work. And, like, for example, for me to go to the Coliseum and work a game for the A's, I had to get tested and cleared.
And the thing up the nose all the way up there, so Rox? Oh, my gosh.
I did. They did the rapid test once, which is they just move it around in there for, like, okay. 10 seconds. They don't go very deep. But then I also had the brain searcher. And that one was not fun. That was very uncomfortable. And, I'm, like, for, 5 minutes, I'm, like, tearing up. They went so I could feel it like in my ear when they went up through the – it was – oh. I'm just thinking to myself, get it out of there. This is – oh, my God.
I'm a wimp, JD. My kids have had
There's
the
no,
test.
I'm with you, Guru.
I have it. My kids have had it, and I have it. I'm like, I wasn't. And I'm sitting up there like Pops is scared. That's bad.
Yeah, well, I'll do whatever I got to do. I haven't had the need for one yet. Again,
the mandatory.
Knock on wood, I've been healthy, and other than honestly going for some long walks, I've pretty much kept it shut down. Aside from like I said, the one Giants game and the one 49ers game last week, where everything is all leveled out with protocols, and I'll be out there again this Sunday for the 49ers and the Dolphins. That's the one thing that I kept coming back to as we moved back to football was that Super Bowl week where I was, I just could not stop coughing and had issues with the voice. I remember, Goo, I filled in for you, I think, one day. I remember the Higian called me. I was walking down Ocean. And the Higian's calling me like, can you get back to your room to do the show? And, because Goo needs a minute, needs a break. And I was thinking, I can if my voice will hold up. But anyway, it's interesting to think back. We laid out, Garoppolo's in, Beathard's the backup, Debo and Mostert questionable. Let's get into some pretty, before we do the predictions, do we still have Robin? Is Robin on the phone? Let's get Robin in here. Robin's been waiting patiently. Before we start squawking about our predictions, let's give Robin an opportunity here in San Francisco. Hey, Robin, how are you?
Hey, you guys. Hey, Guru. I was going to hang up. I wanted to let you know, my son got an apartment, looked better than my own house after they destroyed it, him and his girlfriend, and the dog is finally moving out. Hallelujah. Okay?
On the last day of BS&G, Robin gives us the Sun finale, too, and that's awesome news. You got to be proud.
I am so proud, okay? It's somewhere in Concord, and hallelujah. So I wanted to ask you guys when you can get back to it, because I know a lot, but I don't know everything, so I call in sometimes to learn from you guys. Why is it that the Niners have problems covering man-to-man? That's how they get their asses kicked every time. They start getting their asses kicked man-to-man. That's an issue with me, and I just wanted to see what you guys thought. Very simple question today. Bye, you guys. Take it easy.
Thanks, Robin. What do you think, Roxy?
Well, look who started a cornerback last week. Right? You're down to, your fifth and sixth corners now because of all the injuries that you're dealing with. So when you don't have your top guys, makes it challenging for them on the outside. The pass rush isn't the same this year. When you blitz more, that means less guys are dropping back into coverage. It's a combination of things right now, but with the injuries and also I think the lack of a pass rush have depleted the corners a little bit.
But I want to give everybody let's get Spadoni to recap Robin's rant about her son. Okay. For those who were wondering what was going on, I want to play that.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to my son, 22 years old, who I kicked out the house along with his girlfriend. May you find your way. Mama's showing you tough love. You can't come back. You can't eat off me. You can't live off me free. And you definitely can't have sex under my roof free. Now all you have to do is come back and get your damn dog.
And today was update was the dog being picked up.
Yeah,
and the son and the girlfriend have moved out to
happily
the
ever
Bay.
After. They
Come
call
back and
that
get your
JD.
Damn dog.
Wow. It's a big moment for people who listen to BSG regularly. It's a huge moment for Robin.
Yeah. And on the final official BSG show, I do think it's important.
Incredible.
I'm a big believer,
really
Gouin. You want to bring it all full circle.
Closure. They call that closure, I believe.
Yes. Go ahead, Goo.
I was just
going to
say, I thought Robin was being a little overly critical. We talked about the read option and the Niners struggling with that, but I told you too, Roxy, I thought Carson Wentz and his contract and what he's supposed to be, I thought the DBs held up. He rolled out a couple times, made a couple throws downfield, but there were by far wasn't like, oh my gosh, this is a problem. The DBs aren't covering. I didn't see that last Sunday night, and we damn sure didn't see it in New York twice when they played the Jets and the Giants.
The DB's best friend is pressure on the quarterback, right?
Yes.
When you saw Wentz getting pressured last week, the defense was stellar. When they got nothing in front of Carson Wentz, he picked him apart. They got to get pressure on the quarterback.
And there were a couple of plays where they chased him out of the pocket, and those plays also wound up working in the Eagles' favor. Like, you got to try to keep him inside the pocket. That's where the 49ers find themselves getting into trouble, where the pass rush is there, but they allow an escape. And they've been getting beat with quarterbacks that can escape and either run for a first down or escape and make throws on the run to lead the ball down the field. So I think that's going to be key for the 49ers again, because Fitzpatrick, he'll get after it and try to get out and make some plays. He'll take some risks. The 49ers have to make him pay for those risks. All right, given everything we know, guys, prediction time here. Uh-oh. For Sunday. I'm going to go last. Goo, I'm going to give you the floor first. Give us your 49ers-Dolphins prediction for Sunday. When you're back Monday with Steiny and Dibs, let's see what the Goo had to say ahead of time.
It's Michael Jordan versus Dave Craig, and the Niners will have 23 and the Dolphins will have 17, Roxy. I believe the reemergence of Jimmy Garoppolo coming back, that'll bode well, and they'll get 23 points, and they'll beat the Miami Dolphins. And I see Fitzpatrick with no magic having a turnover, that backbreaker. So I'm going 23-17 Niners.
What's the spread in the game? What does Vegas have it at, JD?
Boy, I think it was 9. I want to say it was up to 9.
I don't like
earlier
that,
this
man.
Morning, believe
That's
it or not.
That's too much, man.
I'm looking for it on my sheet here.
If I was to play the number.
9.
Here we go.
I would take Miami in the 9. I think the Niners are going to win the game, maybe by a touchdown. But the trends favor the Dolphins covering the spread. Miami's 8-2 against the spread in its last 10 games following a loss. The 49ers are 6-11-1 against the spread at home over the last 3 years, and 3-9-1 against the spread if the 49ers are also the favorite. So the trends will tell you, but now the Niners are 3-0 against the spread versus the Dolphins in the last three meetings, but they don't only play every 4 years. But the trends would tell you that the Dolphins might be the right play, according to everybody in the desert.
What you got, JD?
I would not feel comfortable with laying the 9. So as much as I say that, I wouldn't bet it. But I do think the 49ers are going to win by 2 touchdowns.
I think it goes over, though. I think the Dolphins cover, but the game will go over.
Yeah,
what's
everything's
the
going over.
What's the number, Roxy? What number do you see for that?
I haven't seen the total on the game, but you're right, Guru. Everything is trending toward over this year. And another nugget for the over-under, that the 49ers games following a San Francisco loss, going back to the start of last season, all of their next games, so it's 4 games, have all gone over. So
50.5 is the, 50 is and the a number.
Half.
Wow.
It's a lot of points.
I've got it.
Yeah.
It's a lot. I've got it 30-16. That was the score came to my mind. 30-16, the 49ers come back with a vengeance after an embarrassing loss at home, in front of a national audience. Garoppolo's back. Maybe we get Debo too. Maybe Mostert. I think the 49ers put up a 30, and they beat them 30-16 So that would still be under.
I like
a 49er cover. We got about 45 seconds. Final thoughts, Roxy.
59% of the game's going over, so I like the over. How's that?
Okay. Goo?
I'm excited. We got 10 back. We'll see what he can do and bring that magic.
Who the Cowboys got this week?
They have the New York
Giants.
Football Giants, and that's
the
not walking the
Giants.
Park. And Dallas
so
just lost
21-0 and come back
Smith
and win
for the rest of the year. They scored 24 points in the fourth quarter last week, fellas. That's uncanny. When did that even happen? Forget it's Dallas. I mean, like, there's too much offense, Roxy.
All right, for Roxy Bernstein, for Daryl the Guru Johnson, for Kyle Madsen,
JD,
Joseph
we're
Pagone,
the show killers.
It's been a pleasure, everybody.
I love
we'll
you
talk
guys.
To you Monday here on 95.7 The Game.
How dare you?
And that's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. No, sir.
Get ready. Ready for the new 95.7 The Game.
This is not a drill.
Featuring Vontae Hill, Kate Scott, and Joe Shasky. Weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m.
I'm not settling for a rotary phone in 2020.
Matt Steinmetz, Daryl the Guru Johnson, and Dan Dibley from 10 to 2.
Where the cats at? Why can't people go walk the cat?
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky from 2 to 6.
Oh, my God.
The Football Hour with Sean Salisbury from 6 to 7.
I don't need excuses, and he's better than that.
And Ryan Covey and John Dickinson from 7 to 10.
I'm a real lamenter of Ryan Covey.
On 95.7, The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.